Come on, isn't that awesome? Can we give a big hand clap to what God has been doing this last year? Man, I've been excited, and I shared this in the first service. I've been excited about what God has been doing in our church. We did a survey last year sometime during Vision Sunday. I think it was in the month of October. And we did a survey, and we found that 30% of our church, 30% of our church was not previously going to another church, that this was a first-time experience for them to be in a Christian community. And so what that means is that we're not shuffling seats between another church and this church. What that means is that God is at work here at Overflow Church. And we can give God a big hand clap for that, because that is a big deal, right? And I just really believe this last year, God has been, man, just putting a word on my heart. My dad came in August, and he shared a word in August called, "I will not go unless, Lord, you go before me." And it really hit me. And after that, I really felt like, man, God was saying, after our awakening month, which was really trying to jumpstart us into revival, to see the kingdom of God moving and shaping us, I really felt like these words kept on coming to me that I want to experience more, that there's more that God wants of us, that there's more than we can experience. And so it became really clear. So today, let me tell you something. I do a lot of teaching at Overflow Church, but today I want to do some preaching. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor. We're going to go Baptist style. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, no. Don't say it like you're still in 2023. Say, neighbor. There is more. There is more. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. We're going to be Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Let me give you a little bit of preparation. Man, last service, I just went completely off of my notes. So pray for me as I pray for you. This is what the word of the Lord says. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone that could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us go up, let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I love the commentary that the scriptures give us here. He didn't know what to say. He was frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come," and he's referring right there to John the Baptist, "and they have done to him everything that they wished, just as is written about him." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would move, Father God, as you've been moving all throughout the first service and even through the worship. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your words, Father God, would not just become knowledge that sits in our mind, but it would move into our hands, our heart, and then to our hands and our feet, and it would call us to respond to where I think that you are calling us this season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach specifically around this idea for us in 2024, this big idea that there is more. There is more that God wants of us, that he's calling to us, that he desires us to experience of him and his goodness. So I want to give a quick disclaimer. I think a lot of times during this like beginning of the year, we have these words that we end up trying to fit into the scriptures. Here's my promise to you. Here at Overflow Church, we are Bible people. We are people of the book. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to try my best to exegete the text and communicate what it is saying. But I think parallel to what is happening in Scripture are these principles that we can apply, I think, that can give us direction for 2024. And I really think as we look at it, we will see this idea that is coming up, that there is more. More than we can experience. More than we can ask of God. More to our faith. So I want to say this. I love you, okay? Now hear me. I love you, all right? I love you. This might hurt a little bit, but I love you. So please love me back at the end of this service, but you might want to wait and see. I want us, as we dive into this year, I was challenged by this idea of more. I honestly have been just reflecting on what does it look like to be a believer here in the West. And when I talk about the West, I'm talking about America right here. This is where we live. This is this specific area. And I honestly am telling you that our faith, I think, does not hold up to the standard. I think we have lived lives here that makes Jesus all talk. That we platform him and we sing these songs about the goodness of God and how much we love Jesus. But honestly, we don't live lives that reflect that. Well, honestly, Jesus becomes second place. Because we got stuff that we want to do. We got agendas that we want to push. There's things that are honestly more important than Jesus, right? Whether it is a job or a hobby or whatever you want to name it. I was thinking about this week, and it really challenged me. And we were talking during staff meeting about First Monday prayer. We're talking about, man, like, oh, it's coming up. And then somebody during service said, hey, do you know that the national championship is on Monday? And we were like, oh, maybe we should move back the time. And I want you to think about this with me. Where else in the world that believes in the God of the universe, right, that he is Lord, that he's King of Kings, and that he has died on the cross, do we shift everything, right, about who he is, taking time to be with him so that we can watch a football game that does not have eternal implications? We have become apathetic about our faith. Jesus has become secondary at best. At best, he's become secondary. He's a secondary figure in our lives. But let me tell you something. Let something happen that shakes our faith. Let it be sickness. Let it be pain. Let it be somebody in our family that's going through. Maybe it's a job that changes and shifts on us, and we are in there. Oh, I want to be in prayer meeting, and I want to cry before the Lord, and I want to weep before the Lord, and I want this God. But all the time, whenever everything is going okay, Jesus is not first. He is not preeminent in our lives. The songs that we sing on a Sunday, they're not true. And let me tell you something, that you know what that makes us? It makes Jesus into a cosmic genie that we can go up to and we can say, Jesus, we love you, we want you whenever you want it. And so if I do X, Y, and Z, then maybe you'll grant my wish. But every other set of the time, I put Jesus on and off when I come into the church. When I leave here, that is it. I have met my spiritual quota for the week, yes. Yes, that's who Jesus Christ is in our lives. He is someone that we can take on and take off.
I think God wants to challenge us in this season in 2024. Will we live lives that take seriously the scriptures of the gospel? We would live lives that take seriously who Jesus is. Or will we continue to say, yeah, I like this Jesus thing sometimes. I like him on my schedule. See, let me tell you something. I think the American church is enamored with the Jesus that they've created. Right? I'm enamored with a Jesus that looks like me, that acts like me. But anytime I am challenged with the person of who Jesus is, who his character is, who he's calling me to be. The Bible says he's calling us to be conformed and transformed. Those are painful things. Because it means that I have to become different. See, I don't like that Jesus. I don't like the Jesus that calls me to be conformed into his likeness, his image. That calls me to be transformed, that says the things that I used to be, the way that I used to be, I cannot hold on to them anymore. And let me tell you something. I think 2024, God is saying, do you want that Jesus? Because let me tell you something. That's not a real Jesus. That's a false Jesus. That is an American gospel Jesus. Or do we want the Jesus in the scriptures? See, I told you, I want you to love me now. I love you. This sermon for me was preached as I was working it because I felt like God was challenging me. I didn't even share this in first service. I felt like God was challenging me. He was saying, Elijah, you've learned how to put everything on autopilot. You know the right buttons to push. You know the right books to read. You can come up here and preach a sermon. You can move a crowd. Everybody can be happy. But is there life transformation? And let me tell you something. It starts here with me. And I am committed in 2024. I will not lead you where I have not been. I think God is asking us, do we want more? And I think as we jump into this text, I think we see people that want to settle in a spot and do not want more of God, and he is challenging us not to settle. How do we know this? Let's jump into the scripture. We get into Mark. Let me give you a little bit of context. Mark gives us the thesis of his book. In chapter 1, verse 1, this is what he says. This is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Right there and then, that tells us a couple of things. Number one, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the chosen one that the prophets and the law have spoken about. This is who he is. And now, number two, he's saying he has come to rescue and restore the whole world. That is what the Messiah has come to do. Number three, if all those things are true, then what? How do we respond? How do we respond now to these things that have been placed in front of us? As we get to this text, Mark here gives us a picture of when this idea of that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, right, to be fully seen and known here in verses 2-7. And this is what he does. He gives us a glimpse of his glory. Jesus gives us a glimpse of his glory as he transfigures before them. I love the way the text kind of gives us this picture. Like, there's a lot of really funny things that Mark here. He says that his clothes were white, whiter than any color that anybody could even bleach. Like, he is transparent almost. Like, he is in full glory. Now, this text is beautiful. But it gets more beautiful if you know the context. Why are Peter, James, and John here shaken to the core? Why are they sitting there trying to say, what is happening here? Why is this such an amazing moment? They've heard the voice of God. They've seen Jesus glorified, a glimpse of Jesus glorified. But it goes beyond that because there's something that's going on in their heart and mind right here. If you're a first century Jew, you have been waiting for the Messiah. The two most prominent figures in the scriptures, in your Hebrew scriptures, are Elijah and Moses. Why? Because Moses represents the law. It represents God taking the people out of Egypt and giving them the decree and saying, this is how you experience me. And on one side of Jesus in this moment, you are seeing the law. On the other side of Jesus, you see Elijah. Elijah is represented in the Hebrew scriptures as the greatest prophet that had ever walked the earth. He is represented as all of the prophets right here. So I want you to think about this. Put your feet, your shoes, in a first century Jewish person. You are seeing basically the celebrities of your faith and what they represent, and in the middle is your rabbi. And he is, it is almost to say that he is the culmination of all of the law and all of the prophets embodied in this God-man, Jesus Christ. And they're given this glimpse of God's glory. They're given this glimpse of this beautiful moment. How many of you have ever experienced a glimpse of God's glory? How many of you have ever experienced God do something so amazing? Anybody in here? Can I tell you something? I remember when I got saved, I experienced a glimpse of God's glory. I remember I was in first or whatever grade, and I was at a Christian chapel, Victory Christian Academy, actually. And I remember my principal came and he preached a message, and I remember in that moment, now I'm a pastor's kid, but in that moment, I knew that I was a sinner in need of God's grace. The only way that the way that I still communicate it to today is I say this. It was like, I felt like Acts chapter 2. I felt like I was cut to the heart. That something said I need to respond. And I remember, man, as soon as I got it, man, I was excited. The first thing that I would do is I started memorizing scripture. I started memorizing the scriptures. I would go and tell each and every person that I knew, all my friends, they heard the gospel frontwards and backwards forward. Let me tell you about Jesus. I was excited about who Jesus was. I didn't even know you doctrine, theology, philosophy. I don't know what that was. But I just wanted to share. When my parents were with friends, do you know about Jesus? My dad said, shut up, boy. It don't take all that. Just relax. Can I say something? I guarantee you some of you have experienced a glimpse of God's glory, and somewhere along the line you learned how to dim your light. Somebody told you, hey, it don't take all that. It don't take all that. You don't need to be out here talking about Jesus all the time. Like, just kind of be people that are around or something. That is not the gospel. That is not the good news that Jesus Christ died for. That is not the truth. And it is a westernized, watered-down version that the enemy has lied to the church to capitulate to the culture. And I told you, you don't got to love me. It's okay. That's all right. We have watered down who we are called to be salt and light. Salt gives flavor to things. Light moves darkness. And somehow we have learned how to be tasteless and live in the dark. We have learned how to be people that do not affect the environment that we live in. And so let me tell you something. We are excited about living with a glimpse of God's glory. We're excited about living with a glimpse of God's glory. See, Peter was. Peter didn't even know what to say. He was afraid, but what he knew was the promises of Scripture. Okay, this must be the Messiah. We can hang it up right now, right? What does he say? Can we build a tent right here, temple right here? We'll build one for Moses. We'll build one for Elijah, and we'll build one for Jesus. And we won't even go anywhere. We'll stay right here on the mountaintop. And we'll stay in this moment. But the problem with a glimpse, it is nothing but a glimpse. It is not the full thing. It is not the full revelation of who Jesus is. It is not who God has commanded us to follow, to hear, to receive, to be transformed and conformed by. It is nothing but a glimpse. It is a glimpse of God's glory. And here is the thing. When we try to live in that glimpse, we try to live on these mountaintop experiences. But here's what I want us to see today. We cannot live off of mountaintop experiences alone. We cannot live off of mountaintop experiences alone. We cannot live on pure glimpses of who Jesus is. God wants us to see the fullness of who he is. How do we know that? Jesus understood this picture. What does he say to his disciples? Don't tell anybody about this. Now, I want you to think about that. Why would Jesus say, do not tell anybody about this? This is the picture in the scriptures, apart from the resurrection. I could argue that this is the clearest vision of who Jesus is in this moment when he transfigures. He literally has Moses and Elijah right next to him. Why does Jesus say to them, don't tell anybody about this? But wait, he doesn't finish there. He says, wait until the day of my resurrection. You see, the reason why I truly believe that Jesus says, hey, don't just be excited about a glimpse, because you're excited about what's happening on this mountain. But there's a mountain called Golgotha that I am going to that will give you the full revelation of who I am. When I spread my arms wide and I die on that cross, and that you can receive the full redemption of who I am, that you can see who I truly am meant to be. You are seeing a partial picture of the Messiah, but the fullness of the Messiah means that he must go, sacrifice, and die for your sins and mine. And for whatever reason, Overflow Church, we are excited about a glimpse and we stay on these mountaintop experiences, and then all of a sudden it gets stale. It gets stale. And yet God wants us to keep moving. He wants us to experience the fullness of who he is. He wants us to experience his glory, and not just his death, but his resurrection. But we're stuck on these backwards mountains just seeing a glimpse when he wants to give us the fullness of his glory. He wants us to experience fully who he is. I cannot continue living with a partial picture of Jesus. We have people here, not just here, but in all of the church, that when they hear about prayer, they run. I guarantee it. Man, I was joking around about the 2024 and about the, you know, Michigan game, and people are like, oh yeah, but I guarantee you, some of you are like, well, I gotta make it to that game. Do you know that one of the key things that Jesus left us as people of God who have received the Spirit is access to the Father through prayer? Yes. Yes. Do you know that the one thing that the Bible says can move mountains, can change trajectories, can destroy the demonic forces in your life or in a region is prayer? Do you know that one of the least attended services in all of churchdom is prayer meetings? What are we doing in the church today that we would take up something else than be in the presence of God? See, I'm not trying to convict you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to convict you with the power of the Holy Spirit. What is important if this, what does it look like if we live a life as if this thing really mattered? We talk like it does. We talk like he does. My friend Corey Castle and Pastor Craig Reese, who are at Central Wesleyan Church, they snuck into Ukraine to meet with some of our churches there in Ukraine, Russia. And while they were preaching, I heard Pastor Craig share this message. While they were preaching the gospel, the alarm went off for bombs to get into shelter, because they were shelling the area. That church is right in Kyiv, Ukraine. Let me tell you what they did. They continued to preach and pray and receive God, but for whatever reason, it is an inconvenience to come into the house of the Lord. It is an inconvenience to share the gospel with somebody else. It is an inconvenience to live your faith as if it matters. Prayer doesn't matter. The word doesn't matter. Sharing the gospel doesn't matter. So the question is, are you just okay with a glimpse? Are you okay with that get out of jail free card? With that, I'm not going to hell, so like I don't have to care. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. The greatest lie that the enemy has shared with the American church is that salvation is about going to heaven. Salvation is only about going to heaven. When God has called us to live in the fullness of his glory, and we have a lot of people in a lot of churches that just get by the bare minimum, I am telling you this year that I cannot do that. I cannot continue to live as if that this thing is not true. And I want to challenge us this morning. Will we live as if this thing is real, as if it matters? Because the early church did. The early church lived as if it mattered. There's people like John Wycliffe who literally were burnt at the stake because they wanted to translate the Bible into English so that everybody can get a chance to experience the goodness of God. There were people that would literally were thrown into coliseums and they were ripped apart by lions and bears because they said, no, as for me, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. And yet if the snow hits the ground, I don't know if I want to come to church today. I told you, I want you to love me now. If it's not on my schedule, if it doesn't fit my time, yeah, I know that my neighbor is over there, and I know he's been saying hi to me, or she's been saying hi to me. And there's been opportunities, and I kind of feel guilty about it. But when I get to church, I want to pray this prayer. Father, transform me into overflowing presence of Christ's love, proclaiming hope to the neighbor and the stranger. And it means nothing. I am challenged this year that I am just telling you, for me, I cannot continue to live in apathy. I cannot continue to live off of a glimpse of God's goodness. Jesus says that don't stay right here. Don't stay right here. Don't say anything. There is more than you can experience. So in 2024, we should prepare for more. We should prepare for more. I desire more. As I was praying, I said, God, I don't want just a glimpse of your glory anymore. I want to see the fullness of who you are. I want to see lives change. I want to see families restored. I want to see reconciliation happen. I want the Holy Spirit to speak clearly and boldly in my life. I don't care if we are trying to reach people and they go to other churches. That's not what matters. The kingdom matters. But will we be people that take seriously who Jesus is, or will we live in that place of just a glimpse, in a place of apathy? We will be people who take Jesus seriously. And for me, God convicted me, and I shared this last service. God, literally in the middle of me tweaking my sermon last night, I remember the Spirit saying, "I, what does it look like for you to prepare for more? What does it look like for you to be hungry for more? More of me, more of who I am." Can I tell you something? I'm just going to be transparent here. When I go to the gym, I don't like talking to people. And guess what God has done? He started bringing people that want to talk to me. I mean it. Like, I literally don't like talking to people. I put my hoodie on and I type so nobody sees me, and I'm just trying to get out, and inevitably somebody comes and talks to me. Somebody wants to share. Hey, somebody literally came up to me as I was walking out the gym one day, and they said, hey, Pastor Elijah, you're a pastor, right? You're a pastor at Overflow. Hey, can I show you this word? What does this mean in the Hebrew? I was like, come on, man. I just got done. I want to go take a shower. But yet I've been praying for God to give me more opportunities to share the gospel. What does it look like for us to say, God, I want more? This year, God has challenged me. This is not just a word for you. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me, to you. God has challenged me that I will not live a pacified life anymore. I will not live as if, like, this doesn't matter and I've got it all situated. So in 2024, I am preparing my heart to say, God, how can I listen in here? We people, every year, they do this 21 days of fasting and prayer. Honestly, the reason why we stopped doing it here at Overflow Church, because I think people don't take it seriously. It's just something that people do. Like, oh, I'm just going to do a 21-day fast. Every church in the country is doing it. Start off the year with 21 days. And I don't want to just do things for the sake of doing it, but God challenged me. And so here it is. You can do it. You don't have to. Right? But starting the 9th through the 31st, I am taking a time of concentration. I am saying no to certain things that I eat. I am saying no to certain things that I watch. I am saying no to that screen that takes up all of my life, scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I am saying, God, I am going to concentrate on what you have to say by reading your word, by praying, by being present with every and each person that I can get by, because I want more. I do not want to live a faith that is lackluster and that has no power. And so here's the question. Do you want to join me? Do you want to join me in this journey? We're just saying, hey, from the 9th through the 31st. Listen, this is how unofficial it is. We're not going to put up things on our Facebook. Or there's no links. There's no books. It is saying, hey, do you want more? Are you willing to get uncomfortable? And the problem with the American church is that if we are uncomfortable, then it starts to inconvenience us. And then we don't want anything that inconveniences us. I am not okay with just simply going by a glimpse. See, I think that when we live out that more, when we live out what God has called us to, what we see is that we are called to one more. Worship team, you can come up. The Bible says, the last thing that Jesus says as he leaves this earth, he gives us the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission. He says what? He says, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what? Make disciples. This year, I am going to be calling our church to more. Next week, we start a series. We call it World War Me, winning the battle of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're going to dive down and say, what is these things that suck the strength out of our life to this moreness that Jesus has for us? Right after that, we're going to be going into a series called Confessions of a Christian Atheist. How do we make sure that we're not living false pictures of who Jesus is, actually saying that, oh, we're believers, but really in our lives, we live more lives that are aligned with somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. I want us to raise the level and the temperature of our lives. What would it look like if we took seriously the Great Commission, the thing that God has called us to be, to say that, hey, we want to live in the fullness and the revelation of God, and we weren't just excited about the 30 on the wall, but we said there is more. There's one more soul out there that I can share the gospel with. There's one more person that is in my family, that is a friend, that is a neighbor, that I can care on, that I can love on, so that they can see Jesus. What would it look like for us to take our faith seriously? I cannot continue to live life as if this doesn't matter. I want more. I want to experience God more. And I'm calling us to the same. So Here it is. It's going to get really uncomfortable in this mug. But I believe if we live in that uncomfortable space, we will see the fullness of his glory. Would you stand with me? God, I am overwhelmed by who you are. You love us so deeply, so desperately, that you came into this world and you died on a cross for our sins. You took on guilt and shame and pain as they mocked you, as they ripped the skin off of your body, Lord. Yes, you did that for us. You had me in mind. You had each and every person in mind. You had this whole universe in mind, Father God, as you were mocked and scorned. The God of the universe laid on display for us, Lord. And then they laid you in that tomb and they sealed you up and they mocked you. And Satan's hordes rejoiced and said, "He is dead. The promises are dead." But you didn't stay there. You rose from the grave. You rose from the grave. And you said, "You are mine." Father, how dare we? How dare we, Father God, then take that same gift that you have given us and sit on pews and seats? How dare we, Father God, abuse the gift, Father God, that you have given us? How dare we, Father God, live lives that are lackluster? How dare we, Father God, not step into our job places, Father God, and beam with the light and the joy of Jesus Christ? How dare we, Father God, let our neighbors not know who we are? How dare we, Father God, not walk into spaces, Father God, and your glory shine around, Father God? How dare we, Father God, when we have been given this gift? I want more, Father. I want more, Jesus. I want more, Jesus. I don't want a glimpse. I want more.